Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today's date is Monday, July 28th, 2003. Today's session is entitled, What is Contemplative Prayer, and Will It Make Me Feel Like I'm Praying Underwater? A session with Spiritual Director Marlene Wohler, number MUM-2003-02. Let's listen in.
Dad,
I've read some things that say you're supposed to just let your mind be blank.
Oh.
And that's just, I don't know, that's probably impossible.
Excuse me, what was the last part? Your mind blank?
I found that impossible.
I've spent most of my life living in a world of words, and I find in the few experiences I've had with contemplative prayer that I still have that temptation or impulse to somehow translate the experience into words. Somehow I have to explain to myself what happened, and to just be with the experience and sort of believe that somehow the Holy Spirit is making things happen, whether I can, I have any concept of it or not. That's kind of a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels to me a bit sometimes like there's only a certain personality that can do that. You know, a person that likes no words, or a person that likes to sit around a lot. And neither one that I am, so that can sort of leave me out. Or you have to be a certain age, to be over 40 or maybe 50 or 60. Really old.
Does he seem that old anymore?
No. Well, let's just start with a real simple contemplative prayer exercise. All the contemplative prayer really is a simple, open presence to God with us. And so let's just turn to God simply, and if you want to be in a posture that makes that a little more conducive, that's fine. You might like your back straight and your feet on the floor to sort of remind you that you're right here in this moment. You're not where you were 5 minutes ago, and you're not where you're going to be a few minutes from now, but you're just right here, with yourself as you are, and with God present as God is. And so, if it feels natural, take a couple deep breaths and let your body catch up with you, and maybe let that help slow down your mind. And as you notice sounds that are coming in to where you can hear them, see if you can, rather than trying to figure them out or analyze them or be distracted by them, see if you can just sort of let them be what they are. There, but not something you have to pay attention to right now. especially in your hands or on your feet. You can relax those a little bit, and if you can't, then can that be okay too? And as it feels right for you, pray a silent prayer of your desire for this moment, what you most want from God. Just kind of drift below that deeper desire. What is it that I want? What do I long for? As much as you can be in touch with that right now. And lift that up as a prayer. God, it's in you that we live and move and have our being. We're not outside of the reach of your love. No matter how busy we are, or good we are at sitting still, or old or young or in between, if we feel smart or we don't feel smart, we're still included. And you still long to find us, bring us ever deeper into a closeness with you. And we trust you for this, God. We trust you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the ways that contemplative prayer kind of became real for me was when I was on a retreat and I was out being retreatish and walking in the field, and you know that feeling when you know you're supposed to be mellow, but you're really not mellow at all. You're kind of acting like you're mellow. So I was walking around the field acting that way, thinking mostly about ticks bugging. And there were some deer I saw, and so I started to follow them. And the closer I got to them, the more they, of course, kind of politely walked away from me, and the more I politely walked toward them until, you know, I was sort of pursuing these deer, and these deer were being unpursued by me. They just kept avoiding me, and they ended up down in the sort of forest when I kind of realized that this seems pointless, why I'm doing this. And so I walked off and carried on with my day, and I don't know what the deer did. They weren't going to let me know. And then later that night, I walked outside, and I just opened the door, and oh, there were the deer right there. And we were both sort of surprised. And I gazed at the deer, and the deer kind of gazed at me, and I gazed some more at the deer, sort of just beheld them, and they kind of just beheld me. And then after a while, both of us seemed done, and we went on. And it felt really natural, and there was a little bit of a, something kind of came and found me, rather than me having to go and find it. And that, to me, it was kind of an aha. Oh, this is what contemplative prayer is. And it's really hard to define contemplative prayer. And in fact, that's one of the things I like about it, is it's undefinable. And there aren't any words, exact words, you can attach to it. You can just sort of point over in its direction. It's kind of like that. And it's like so many different things that we do with God. There's an intentionality with it, but really it's grace that comes and finds us. And it's prayer that comes and finds us. And it's something that we do all the time without even realizing it a lot, is being present to God and naturally open to what God has for us and receiving that. Well, you know how that quickly becomes a problem. It's in, especially when it comes to silence, which if there's any discipline to contemplative prayer through the tradition, it would be silence. the minute, you know, you get silent, things happen. For example, just in this moment, just right now for a minute, as you can, just turn to God simply, honestly, without trying to get anything, without trying to get away from anything. Just for a minute, with who you are in yourself, just turn to God. And what happens in that time when you do that? Is anybody distracted by anything? No. Maybe some of us aren't. Maybe it's kind of easy to do that and to just turn to God in that moment. And if that's so, then all that's really needed is, oh, thank you, God, for your presence in this moment, my awareness of it. But if you're like some of the rest of us and you don't even begin to notice God present, or you maybe sort of kind of start to notice God, but something kind of comes in and captures you, then it's helpful to have a little something to do in that time. And one of those little something to do's are the different prayer forms that you've probably heard about, or maybe you read on our list. And there's different kinds of centering prayer or presence through a word that you might have heard of or be aware of. There's something called Lectio Divina, which is means are you okay back there? Do you want to? Lectio Divina, which is sacred reading, where you read scripture and you're kind of just present to the scripture without analyzing it. Welcome. There's something called guided meditation, where someone walks you through a meditation, and those are all, none of those are going to save us, unfortunately. It'd be nice to finally have the thing itself that works, but those are all just little something, a little way we can fiddle with ourselves, maybe, to see if we can open up to God. And a lot of times it's best to only do those as long as they're helpful, and so you don't try to force something, because the minute we force something, then we're kind of in charge. And one of the things about contemplative prayer is the great acknowledgement that we get to have, which is that we're helpless. I can't do it. We can't do it. It's always a gift. And since it's a gift, it's beyond our grasp, which is good, except for we want to be able to force it. So that's why a light touch and just letting God be God as best you can seems to be helpful. It has a contemplative prayer that comes from far back in different ways and in different configurations. And there's books, plenty of books now, especially you can read about all the specifics of this and the history of it. But just real simply, probably you could trace it back first maybe to, well, you can go back to scripture, and what does it mean when we read to pray without ceasing? There's some thinking and experience that contemplative prayer is what that's about. And there's a book called The Cloud of Unknowing that by an author named Anonymous, who talks about contemplative prayer being praying without ceasing. There's also those, you've probably heard of them too, the Desert Mothers and Fathers in Egypt, back in the 4th century, who were out there doing who knows what, something godly and spiritual. And their version, if you trace it, sort of the word thing with them, of contemplation is really rest. Which, you know, is a lot different than what we're thinking of when we think of focusing or staying centered or really doing what we're supposed to be doing. Rest, you let happen. So another, going back, some place you might recognize is the Benedictines. They were big teachers of Lectio Divina, and it got complicated real fast with people breaking all sorts of spirituality and prayer ways down into contemplabladato and meditatato and I don't know all those words. But just real basically, and I don't mean to diss those things, there's a place for learning that. But real simply, they taught not only the people in their order, but the lay people that came to them how to be with scripture in a way that didn't have that harsh
kind of hard-edged analysis to it that, you know, we in the West are so big on. Really, we want to analyze stuff. So, names that you might, other than St. Benedict and Benedictines, that you might be familiar with or not are Teresa of Avila or John of the Cross, who wrote some poetry especially about contemplative prayer and is a great way in if you're interested to kind of at least catch his vision of God being about love, and which is what contemplative prayer is about, love, God's love for us and our love for God. And Thomas Merton is probably the most recognized contemporary name, who wrote an article, well, he wrote many things, although he was supposedly a contemplative out in the middle of nowhere and quiet. For being a hermit, he did a lot of talking, right? and he knows that, which is so great about him, acknowledging that. And he wrote a book called New Seeds of Contemplation, which is a nice book to read. And there's one chapter in it that is called What Contemplation Is Not, that I took some parts out of it, and I'll pass around later if you'd like to look at it. Another discipline, I mentioned silence being one of the disciplines in contemplative prayer. Another discipline is spiritual direction, which is really a terrible, terrible name, I think, for us. Because the director doesn't really direct anybody. The Holy Spirit is the only director. And the spirit is definitely involved, but it's the body and the emotions, it's all of oneself as well. And a spiritual director is really about accompanying someone. Someone mentioned to me, we were trying to think of better names, and their spiritual companion, their soul friend. And she said, yeah, it's like it's an accompanist. And I had this picture of someone turning the pages for someone playing a piano piece. And I thought, yeah, that's really, that's kind of right there. It's the director dedicates themselves and gives themselves over as best they can to God for the person that they're in direction with during that hour. And that's quite different. Although there are some similarities, but it's really at the core quite different from pastoral counseling or therapy or what are some other, a business relationship or a friendship. All those things can all kind of flow in and out, but the intent is really to be present with that person for what God is doing, what God is about in their lives for that time. So that, you can imagine, that's a big unknowing, because who really knows? So it's sort of a stumbling along, just like contemplative prayer is, to do what you can and count on God to be God. Isn't that sort of the point? So, a traveling the road together. There's a quote I really like about spiritual direction by Tilden Edwards, and it's, the point of the time, the hour that you spend in spiritual direction, is not great clarity, but great willingness for God to be God in all the unpredictable and unknowable ways that God lives in and through us. So, it's undefinable. It's not anyone telling you how you should pray or what you should do or giving you a million different things to consider. It's really a person assisting you as you listen and discover what is a natural way for God to call you out into a deepening relationship. So at Holden, if you're interested, Chalet 1, Room 5, and there's a sign-up sheet that you've seen already on the kiosk. If you want to sort of see what that's like, and there's once you get out of, once you're sprung from Holden to civilization, then spiritual direction is a term that's often used for this, so that's one of the reasons they keep using that term. But you also might see it in other forms, in other words used. What I'd like to do now, before we talk a little bit about all this, is to pray again together and have about 5 minutes in silence. And if you don't want to do this or this doesn't feel right to you, you can just, you know, sit there and plan lunch or something if you like. But if you're up for it, there's a prayer form, you know, I talked about just that little something that we could try together and pray together called interior visualization, where I can kind of just walk us through visualizing a symbol of God or Christ. I'm going to talk about Christ probably as light because I like Christ. I'm comfortable. And I understand that for some folks that's a struggle, and I can sure appreciate that. And if it is, just vision what's right for you. And so we can walk through that together and then have about 5 minutes in silence / distraction. And we can return to that picture that we have, and I can guide us a little bit in that. And then afterwards, we'll all ring our little neat bell, and we'll have just another minute of silence. And then, I know it's kind of a large group, but if you're comfortable, we can talk in the large group about what that was like for us and what it wasn't like for us. And we can also not talk if that feels better, to just ponder those things in your heart like Mary. So, remembering that there's nothing we can do to make it happen, and that we're helpless from the get-go. Find a comfortable position. Like I said at the beginning, your back straight has kind of been showing me the way to stay a little bit attentive. And it is okay if you fall asleep, but if you snore, the person next to you has permission to give you a show. And then return to the breathing that felt right at the beginning, or just start to consciously maybe, you could count your breaths a little bit, if that feels like a way to enter in. Just relaxing anything that feels tense. There's a nice image in childbirth of the midwife standing next to the laboring woman with a length of rope that has knots in it. And as the woman kind of struggles to release this child into the world, the midwife unties the knots and opens the windows. Look now to the center of your forehead. And just lightly focus, not a hard focus. Just kind of notice the spot that's between and just slightly above your eyebrow. You might want to gently place a finger on that spot for a moment. And let yourself gaze inwardly at the spot, gently and steadily. Now let an image of bright, clear light form, like the sun before it's gotten too warm, or maybe the sun as it breaks through fog. It may begin as a tiny dot and evolve into a shape, maybe of a cross or star or circle. not to force an image, but just let it happen. And if you can't see the light image, you can just know that it's there. And let your focus linger on the center of your forehead very gently. Let the light represent for you the light of Christ, or the light of divine being, whatever is really right for you. And as thoughts and other images arise, let them be quietly absorbed by the light. And eventually, as we continue in silence, you might want to allow the light image to expand until it expands to fill your whole body and you sense your entire self lovingly known by God. Continue to pray in silence this way for 5 minutes or so. And you can gently return to your slow breathing when you become distracted, trusting God to hold whatever you bring. Lumen Christi, the light of Christ. to stay silent and group through chairs and about, since there's around 20 of us and groups of five-ish right around you. And view the question, I'll write it up there. What was it like to be with the light? What happened to you during that time? And kind of stay with that question for a while. And then what might that mean for your life in God right now? And if you can, hold it, kind of cradle the questions and cradle your speaking and the other people's speaking so that you can attend to the quality of your presence for God. Not that there's a right answer or a wrong answer or a more spiritual answer, or of course you can never compare ourselves, but that you would just be able to simply share what it was like, both helpful and not. And then I'll call us back into a large group in about 10 or so minutes. So what is it like to be present to the light, and what might that mean for my life and my life?
I was thinking about like water reflecting in the water out there. Imagining myself sitting, well, first of all, I saw a chair, this chair with a spotlight on it, and it was somebody who wasn't me, and then I put myself in that chair, and then I decided that I didn't want to be inside, I wanted to be outside, and we had taken a walk this morning, and saw the light reflecting on the little stream by my bridge, so I put my chair out there, and initially I was in the sun, but it got too hot. I'm sorry. I went in the shade, but it was interesting. The thought processes went through my mind as to what I wanted to get out of this week, because I didn't exactly know what my expectations would be, having never been here before. And so I really came up with, in my mind, some goals for the week. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened to me. And I was only, came out of it. Every once in a while, the children kept saying, superhero. That just get me back to that chair.
So the chair kind of was a grounding.
It was, yes. Uh-huh.
I have no profound thoughts. I miss it when I forget to do it. And you yearn for. He taught me when you're working during the day, you know, stressed out, well, but he says, think of that wonderful, calm feeling. And if it's calm feeling, just you can remember that feeling again. And it's very comforting.
What is the if that gets there with in presence to God, or is it the experience of?
I think it's the ability to focus and to create your mind so that it's open for the Holy Spirit to come in and guide you. And I think when you don't do it often, it's like many other skills, you lose it.
And you're there instantly.
And I'm familiar with what David is telling me about what he's been doing.
Go there immediately and feel the sun on my face and the light shining, and just relax.
I don't see the image of him waving his arms to the back. He said, "That is the guy who got up and back in the reach."
Yes,
it's interesting because when you meet a person, maybe that has something to do with what you just think of God, just play it all of a sudden.
Father Thomas Keating, you may have heard of him, said any prayer uses is that prayer is more about consent than effort. And does anyone want to share how they experienced God's presence in that way, more of a consent than in effort? Does that connect with anyone? Or, and if it doesn't, then just what was it like to be, if you want to share in this large group, to be with the word or the image, the light image?
Feels like you were saying earlier where you're trying to tease it at first, you know. Say stop. Or it'll just change shape so many times, you know. I mean, what happened for me, the light was there and then it kind of turned into a spiral sort of thing. When you said bring it in, you know, and it kind of came in and then the whole thing just sort of turned into this wave. It was like being on riding the wave of the ocean, just sort of being very restful.
I read in a book, this was really helpful to me, that prayer is a stance before God, not something you have to do and accomplish, or am I saying the right words? It's just simply being and maybe opening your eyes and seeing God is already there. But I really like that. It's just a sense of being, so I don't have to put much effort to do it.
There are two fancy words, apathetic and cataphatic, they pronounce it, which describe how some of us have an easier time with pictures, and that God often comes to us in really visual ways and speaks to us, and then others of us, God comes wordlessly, and that neither one is better than the other, but that God is beyond both of us. God encompasses those, but then is larger. And I find it easy to either stick with the image that I have and kind of finally get what I want in the image, or but even if I'm in the falling through the word, okay, now I have it. It's falling through the word. It's whatever is the formula that will work, I tend to glom onto. And so, in your experience when we were with the visualization, did you notice, was it more natural for God to find you in one way than the other? You kind of mentioned that, some of you, that it was, yeah, it was a picture that was really vivid, or it was wordless, and I like it wordless, and is that sort of, or was it one or the other like that for some of the rest of you?
So it's acceptable to just interpret this as this happens. I saw it purple. I didn't see it. I just saw purple. I just had to decide what it was. There wasn't any words that came with it or pictures. It just something that I had to decide.
Yeah.
That it was energy.
Yeah.
So, I like that. The energy. It's,
yeah.
It was. Nobody told me it was. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, you don't know what was really there.
God was there, I hope.
But I just felt like you have to kind of make your own interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of decide on something.
Yeah.
And just be, yeah. It's like the leaf that floats by in the river, and that you're kind of lightly noticing the leaf as being a distraction and the leaf floating by. But you're not making the leaf into a big barge full of, hopefully, we are probably, but we'd maybe like to not make the leaf into a big barge full of interesting things. And we'd also not like to sort of take rocks and throw it at the leaf. We just notice the leaf and then let our gaze go deeper into the river, because that's where we really want to be. If God is that river, we just want to, sort of like looking beyond your shoulder, being present to the person, but knowing there's a great presence all around there too. It's easy to be captured, I think, by all of our images or non-images, because that's what I was trying to say earlier. And can we just be with that too? Okay, now I'm captured. Here I am being captured by God's presence.
Sometimes the experiences can be quite vivid. And
mm-hmm.
Often not. I occasionally use word or phrase, kind of, almost like a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember using the phrase, "Jesus, remember me."
Mm-hmm.
Straight from the feet on the cross. "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me." And I had a couple of occasions where it seemed quite vivid that the Spirit was talking back to me and said, "I remember you." I remember you. Do you remember me? And so sometimes I can be that kind of dialogue taking place, but I can't make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not really appropriate for the facilitator of the group to pick on anybody, but the young people. I'm kind of curious. If you don't feel comfortable, you're going to have to feel comfortable telling me to back off. But what was it like? Do you want to feel like sharing anything?
It's distracting. Like, I can't just clear my mind and not think about anything. Like, someone walks across upstairs, I'm not going to not pay attention to it because I can't.
Yeah.
So it's hard to do that, but I kept thinking, yesterday I sat down by the river for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I just remember thinking about that, and I tried to bring myself back there,
mm-hmm.
having those places that I've been previously, really.
That's weird, because when I was thinking, we were out by the river yesterday, and we were talking about the light, I just remembered when the light was coming, like, over the mountains, and it was just reflecting like crazy off all the rocks, and the river just crashing over the, that's what I was thinking about, just sparkling and really bright. That's what I was,
mm-hmm.
that was my light.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I fell asleep,
there's like this really big ball. I didn't really feel it like coming to me, but I could see like it was really weird, like these little words of like all my little problems like going into the ball and just like going in there and swimming around. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw.
And did you experience God present in that? Or?
Well, yeah, because it felt like it was just kind of like lifting it off my shoulders, like, you know, it'll be okay, and you know, these are. I'm going to take care of them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost time for us to end, but was there anyone else that didn't have a chance to speak or like to say something?
I just have a question. Where did you say the sign-up sheet was for the spiritual?
It's on the kiosk thing.
Yes.
Oh, and if there's not a spot and you'd like to see, maybe you could probably work something out if those times are
okay.
Not right.
Yeah, thanks.
Are there people that just don't have a room to do
this? Yeah, I suppose there are. I mean, yeah, you have to let people be who they are and not cram them, into a mold or something. Doesn't seem very godly. Yeah, I mean, do you know people that just can imagine?
Well, I've tried this several times, read a couple books, and I've had people say, oh, well, you can do this, do that, and it's just like, I don't know, this lady's saying we need to clear it now, and I just go, how does that happen? How does that work? How do you really, I don't know.
Have you ever done yoga?
Because if you do yoga, that's exactly how you usually start yoga. Where, well, in this case, and I wish we were all laying on our little mats because it's so much easier. And you start by focusing on your breath. And you can totally, as you're focusing on three-part breathing and sending your breath to various parts of your body, you can totally eliminate all outside noises and sounds and things, and just it's a great way of clearing your mind. Mm-hmm. And you have the voice. I don't know if you do yoga, but you have the voice that goes.
You have the voice?
Yes, it is, because it's a very mellow.
Peaceful.
Yeah.
Well, if you're doing that, you're concentrating and breathing and so forth. What is that? I mean, how is God, you know?
Well, because that you're getting rid of all the outside noises and sounds, and you're focusing. You began to focus internally, and then you can go from there. And in fact, I've not done this, but in our church we have yoga devotion, and they do yoga, combining it with Bible verses and scripture, and it's very, very popular. Mm-hmm.
People are different too, and what they respond to. And you pointed that out earlier. And my wife, Sonia, who is a deeply spiritual person, has great difficulty in meditating. You know, if sitting quiet, that just doesn't work for her very well. But she loves to walk, and that's what kind of led her to the Labyrinth, and both was very involved with the Labyrinth ministry. And for her, when she had the idea that I can walk. You know, I can go for a walk and I can pray and meditate. Mm-hmm. And the rhythm of walking for her is what quiets her mind and her heart. And, mm-hmm. and she finds that a very wonderful and deep mm-hmm. experience. And some people, I think, gravitate to forms of meditation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was talking about folding laundry, which I was doing 6 hours a day, you know. You can work it in. You can make it a mantra, which may be help.
That's a good one.
You know, I came into this meditation a different route. But, I had trouble with my pastor. I told him that I have a thing about blood. I faint when I see blood. And he took me back to my childhood, 2 years old. I got in a sled accident. My mother fainted when she saw me. Mm-hmm. So it's associated. But anyway, he said, well, Ray, he says, you're a wonderful hypnosis subject. He says, you have a gift that you don't even know about. He says, you're what they call a sight-feel person. You see it, and then you feel it. That's why when I see the blood, feel it, I pass out. But when he came at it this way, I got to thinking, well, you know, I think he's right. I'm very visual. I oil paint, and I feel sight feel, mm-hmm. and so it. Then I started doing the hypnosis for pain. You know, I had a bad knee. I use it to numb my knee, and it's just it is a wonderful thing. But like I say, I don't practice it enough. I should. Mm-hmm. But and I think like some people say, I'm not a good hypnosis subject. Probably there are people that are like that. They're just not good at it. I don't know, maybe there's something psychological about it, like if you're a sight feel person versus a person that's very verbal or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's left brain, right brain, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a good thing that God is big.
Yeah.
We have a lot of different ways of being and who we bring to God.
Well, just talking about hypnosis brings up something else now. Are you learning something besides God?
That's a good question. Mm. A really good question. And I think our intent at the beginning to pray and ask that God be present and who we're open for, what that we understand we're open for, is important. And as specific as is right for each person to be. I think that's really, there's a lot that could be said and has been said about that, but I think it's an important question. Let me end this with prayer. And let me encourage you to feather your time, this time, into the rest of your day.
to not maybe isolate this as being something that could happen only in this room, only with music, and only in the particular chair you're in, but that it's available, God is available to us in the laundry room, or the Thich Nhat Hanh quote of going to the when you're washing the dishes, wash the dishes. And let it be natural and feathered throughout it. Thank you, God of peace, God of very specific things, and God of things that we can't see or can't touch or don't know. For this time, for each other, for the way you're present to us in a group, in the way that in the silence you come in different ways. We trust you, God, as much as we can, even when we don't experience you or your presence in any particular way. And we beg you to lead us in a way that deepens our experience of you and our awareness of your presence. Thank you most of all for your love that we swim in like fish swim in the sea and in the rivers. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming and sharing.
Thank you. Thank you.